Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 393-20454. 20,454 days alive. But my favorite day was kind of funny. I actually thought that I'm like, if you had to pick your favorite day out of 20,454, how would you ever know? And they don't matter. But I don't know, I just, Mosher tipped me off on the whole day thing and I kind of got fired up on it. So for my birthday, I was like, yeah, I'm totally looking up the days. And I decided to make it the title of the episode. It's kind of funny because now there's this whole process I go through where I think, okay, this is out there forever. You know, this title, this photo, this episode. You know, whatever I put out, I mean, it's just there. It's, you know, when I'm gone, like that kind of thing, you know, it'll be floating. So I just, like when I keep picking up these titles, I just like that. And I kind of switch to days and, you know, trying to be more present and in the moment and, you know, making each moment, each day count. And that's what it's about. Like, you know, yesterday's, I don't really care. It's gone. And tomorrow, who knows? I mean, you really have no idea if you're even going to get it, what it's going to be like, what could happen. A waste of energy. So just stay focused on that day. That's what got me to this episode. You know, stoked 2021. Podcast turned 6. Zen turned 6. I'm turning 56. And the dope thing about this year was, you know, everything kind of started last year, kind of evolved around my birthday and turning 55. And then by the end of the year, I was like, wow, just a fantastic year. Had no plans. I wasn't all fired up on, you know, oh, the next birthday I want to, or the next year. Or like, I was pretty content as is. If it was just, you know, even a little less special as last year was, that out the gate January, February. I mean, three things that I would never even have had on a bucket list. But if I had to, they would have been the three things. So it was just such a fun roller coaster ride. And didn't really even think about my birthday until, you know, doing the episode. So everything is really, really good. It's a really, really fantastic time to be me. And, you know, I just keep sharing that, wanting people to grasp that, you know, 6 years ago I was not here mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, so if you start thinking a dude's life really began at 50, and at 56 he was doing great. I mean, that's just a good story. It's not he's, you know, tooting his own horn and he's bragging. And, you know, it's not about that, because the first 48 were just a struggle and a grind. And I'm like, you know, I'm losing parts of me. And I will not last if I continue. And it was just complete self-preservation. And for whatever reason, at 50, you know, started the podcast and was like, okay, I'm on my way. I will find a better way. And I did. And, you know, there's a big pride thing going on in me. I mean, the film actually was finished last night. And it's 4.5 minutes long. And it's for the art event, the live event, March 27th and 28th, and it's just it's just amazing. Like, I can't even believe that it happened, that it was filmed, you know, who participated, and then how it looks. Like, every time I watch it, I cry. So I'm just humbled, just, you know, completely humbled by everything that's going on, and that is really, truly, truly what I'm selling. Come to my well by the water I sell. I'm like, at any time in your life, you can, you know, you can't change your life overnight, but you can change your direction overnight. Today, could be that crossroads where you're going, you know what, I'm going to just start going this way. There's just got to be a better way. I'm going to start deeming myself worthy. And that's what I'm doing. You know, it's like now that's, you know, as a client said, put so eloquently, you know, executing that plan. I'm just deeming myself worthy. And every time I feel better, I'm like, this is what's possible. This is fantastic. And it's like you attract that which you are. So I feel great and these great things are happening. It's like I evolved, vibrated high enough to where now these grand things are going, oh, he's ready. Oh, look, he's in a good place. But why else? But like I said, I would have, you know, I just told him to have a message once a week as I started. I had no idea there would be this beginning, middle, and now so-called end where it's like this arc, a story. Here he was. This is what he got through. Now look at him. And it's just a celebration right now. I mean, turning 55 was a celebration. Turning 56 is a celebration. And that terminology for my birthday and this year, what's coming up or what was not used prior to 2020. So if you're headed in the right direction, yay. If you're deeming yourself worthy, yay. If you believe in yourself, yay. If you're asking for help, yay. If you're doing something a little bit every day for you, yay. Because you will get the fruits of that labor. And that's what I'm selling. That's what's happening to me. That's what I'm experiencing. That's what I'm sharing. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. It is truly what's possible. When you decide to be pro you, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for being in my life, being part of my journey. And it's my birthday, actually. This actually comes out on Thursday. March 25th, my birthday. And then if you're on social media at all this weekend, March 27th, March 28th is the Leaf, L-E-A-F, Llano Earth Art Festival, which is going virtual and global. And I was asked to participate in it. So check out that on social media, Facebook, this coming weekend. And again, thank you for being you. And enjoy. I'm 20,454 days old today, Thursday, March 25th. Happy, 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 happy. Happy birthday to me. 20,454 days old today. Gotta appreciate every one of them. Gotta appreciate every day. So first thing I'm going to do is share some quotes with you. Self-control is strength. Calmness is mastery. You have to get to a point where your mood doesn't shift based on the insignificant actions of someone else. Don't allow others to control the direction of your life. Don't allow your emotions to overpower your intelligence. My growth came when I realized that I do not have to experience life the way I have been told to. Ooh. There are three solutions to every problem. Accept it, change it, or leave it. If you can't accept it, change it. If you can't change it, leave it. Pretty simple. Sometimes you just gotta sit and really think how blessed you are. Seriously. You either get bitter or you get better. It's that simple. You either take what has been dealt to you and allow it to make you a better person or you allow it to tear you down. The choice does not belong to fate. It belongs to you. Feel the feeling, but don't become the emotion. Witness it. Allow it. Release it. I knew I was on the right path when I started feeling peace in situations where I would normally feel tension. Heavy on self-improvement right now. It's really me versus me. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. A Chinese bamboo tree takes 5 years to grow. It has to be watered and fertilized in the ground where it has been planted every day. It doesn't break through the ground for 5 years. After 5 years, once it breaks through the ground, it'll grow 90 feet tall in 5 weeks. The greatest fear in the world is the opinion of others. And the moment you are unafraid of the crowd, you are no longer a sheep. You become a lion. A great roar arises within. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. Many see this disruption and think the world is falling apart and things are getting worse, but this isn't the case. This is simply a breakdown of the old in order to make way for the new. After all, we cannot rebuild until we... Well, that got cut off. My bad. Things that lower your vibration. Taking everything personally. Holding on to the past. Overstressing, sleeping in late, having a poor diet, fueling drama, complaining all the time, overthinking, gossiping, not living in the moment, trying to please others. It's time for you to start taking the necessary steps to become that version of yourself that you can't stop dreaming about. I woke up, I have clothes to wear, I have running water, I have food to eat, life is good, I'm thankful. Your competition isn't other people. Your competition is your procrastination, your ego, the unhealthy food you're consuming, the knowledge you neglect, the negative behavior you're nurturing, and your lack of creativity. Compete against that. Even if it takes you years to create your own wave, it's still better than riding someone else's. Last one. Your circle should want to see you win. Your circle should clap loudly when you have good news. If not, get a new circle. And I have one article to read. The Silence of Savasana. 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 That's how you say it. Savasana. By the Buddha Groove. You know, it's like if you talk about yoga, you're not really talking about yoga in the sense you got to go take a yoga class, but just everything that comes along with it, mindfulness, breath, being aware, being present. It's like meditation, stretching, foam rolling, being at the beach, balancing stones. Almost every yoga student looks forward to Savasana. After all the physical effort, finally, at the end of class, you get to lie down and relax. It seems easy enough, but Savasana is actually a very challenging yoga pose, the most difficult of all. In true Savasana, it's getting worse, I think, the more I say it. Both body and mind are completely quiet and still. While we can learn to relax and quiet the body, doing the same with the mind is a different matter. And this is to me like foam rolling. I foam roll and I just shut down my body and I shut down my mind and I love it. Hence, I've done it for 45 minutes at a crack before. Falling asleep 5 times while foam rolling. Learning to relax. It usually takes a few minutes for the body to unwind in this pose. You may think the body's relaxed, but pay close attention. Often there is a hidden tension in the shoulders and neck, mouth and jaw, hips and groins, or lower back. As you discover areas areas of attention, use the breath to softly release them. That's exactly what I do on the foam roller. I'm laying there and it's like, oh, this thing. Oh, all right, roll that. Oh, that over there. Okay. And I just keep searching. And, you know, it's a crazy thing, but you're searching for what's uncomfortable. The hand and feet are often the last to let go. Fingers and toes may be twitching without you realizing it. Keeping the breath soft and relaxed, you may notice after a few minutes, the body feels softer and more at ease. And actually, well, they have, you know, we talked about what the pose is, but they have a photo just laying on a yoga mat. There's like a towel under a woman's head and then a small round pad under her knees. Just so you know, cause I thought they were going to explain, you know, this is the actual pose, but they haven't yet, so I thought I'd throw that in there. Keeping the breath soft and relaxed, you may notice after a few minutes the body feels softer and more at ease. Withdrawing the senses. Our sensory organs, the organs of perception, naturally attuned to the world around us. They are always searching for outside information and stimuli. In Savasana, that's it. Wow. There's a couple words that trip me up if you haven't noticed. That'd be one. They need to withdraw from the outside world. The ears, eyes, nose, mouth, and skin must all soften and release, letting go of their quest for external information. They begin to notice the subtle internal rhythms of the physical body. Searching for silence. I just love that title. The mind is always busy. Even when we are enjoying moments of relative quiet, there is a constant stream of thoughts moving through the mind. That little murmur, that little rumble. Sometimes the stream moves slowly. Sometimes it races back and forth, splashing noisily. In Savasana, we are trying to still the stream, but not engaging with thoughts that pop up in our mind. They begin to float away. Eventually, the stream begins to slow. There are fewer thoughts. They drift in and out slowly. Even for experienced yogis, it is rare for the mind to become completely quiet without thought. Sometimes there will be a brief moment of complete silence between thoughts after one leaves and before the next arrives. It is in that moment of silence with the mind in a state of total awareness that true Savasana is achieved. Though we may not find that moment, there is still much to gain from practicing it. With the mind relatively quiet and body relaxed, we reach a place of inner comfort. I love that. It's not doing it perfectly. It's just trying. And then you're going to get the breadcrumb. You're going to get that fruit of that labor. A place of inner comfort. That just sounds dope. Our thought patterns have less activity than usual. And we grow more comfortable with the self. Our awareness stays inside. Coming out of Savasana, we feel calm, content, and at peace with the world. Dun, 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 dun. So, I don't really have a plan, but this was a couple weeks ago. I looked ahead, I'm like, okay, I've 392, and then I went, oh, look, March 25th, my birthday, 393 comes out, cool. And then I just computed the days, and I'm into numbers, but I like the 20,454. And I, you know, I'm always kind of into even numbers, but the episode number 393, I don't know, there's just something, you know, I don't know what it is, but I just liked it. I just liked the whole thing. Turning 56 and just had a moment where I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'll just do a birthday episode. Just talk about, you know, what it means. And the funniest thing was, you know, like last year was all kind of centered 2020 around my birthday and the 4/5s and all that. And then this year I was just like, all this dope stuff that was unexpected, but kind of busy stuff. And, you know, now I just got back from a trip and might be moving and trying to get my film done and have a live art event coming up. So it's like, oh yeah. And my birthday's coming up. So I hadn't really thought about a whole lot. You know, I got the number 55 tattooed last year, and I just got a birthday tattoo, and it wasn't going to be about, you know, numbers this year better or anything at all. It's just, no, 55. You know, I'm referring to it now as, you know, that's when it kind of really sunk in, you know, like I really woke up and I'm like, okay, I can do this, you know, because it was at the end of the year, I turned 55. And within that year, I was consistent, and I had never been consistent mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know, at all, only physically. So to me, to be there and feel good physically and, you know, just like my art and Zen and my peace of mind, quiet, like everything was getting better. And I'm like, okay, best year of my life. And I wasn't going to get 2020 tattooed, but I'm like, yeah, 55, dope year. And I love it. I love the number, the double nickel, like everything about it. And that was like January. I'm like, what if 56 better? But I found a super dope tattoo to get anyway, so I was totally stoked. Like, my little gift to myself, my little reward for making it to 56 is kind of how I look at it. So I'm like, that's what I'm gonna, you know, chat about, but just share some thoughts about turning 56. But just a couple things I wanted to share. First of all, the drive. I took a drive north. Originally was going to go to Santa Cruz and just really started to study the map of kind of Central California to Upper Northern California. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be that north. It's actually above Big Sur. Why would I be north of Big Sur? And I started thinking, well, I could be by Big Sur. And I'm like, well, what's south of that? So I was kind of looking in this general area. And there was a town called Lompoc, which I said, okay, I'm going to stay there, and then I can kind of drive around. Well, it's a crazy thing. You have to really be able to navigate yourself via a map to stay along the coast the entire way. Like, for a while, it's PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, the one. And then for a while, it's the 101. And then for a while, it's SR1, Scenic Route 1. And then the 101 will turn into the SR1, and the SR1 turns back into the 101. And, you know, so it's just, you know, you set Waze, my app, and it's just like, okay, get to Lompoc. So I drove, and I wasn't really along, you know, the coast the entire time. And I knew Lompoc was inland, but once I got there, it was like, right away, I was like, okay, why would I live here? You know, it was just that, I'm like, okay, it's a big town. I mean, you know, Home Depot, whatever. I mean, I'm like, okay, I can get anything here if I live by. And I'm like, I'm just, you know, I was really early to check in. I was going to see if there was an early check-in. So I just stopped, and I'm like, you know, let me know. No worries. And I'm probably going to stay another night. So I left. And my two kind of destinations in mind, I was like, going to just drive around the first day, Friday, and then, you know, get up Saturday and do like Pismo Beach, Morro Bay, and then get up Sunday and come home. Well, it's Friday. It's like 11. I'm already there, and I'm already driving to Pismo Beach because it's like I was inland. It's like there weren't really any beaches that I was aware of, and I kind of asked, and it was on the map, and I'm like, you know, like kind of just was interested in going to Pismo. So like within 45 minutes or so, I was at Pismo. Now, I had the one of the dopest experience of my life. I've never driven my vehicle, any vehicle, on a beach. And I got the, and there was Pismo State Beach and Pismo Beach, and you know, it's a bunch of kind of different areas, and how you end up where you end up, you do. And I just drove up, and I was kind of driving up to see where you could kind of park, and I saw you could kind of pay, and I'm like, I don't want to be paying. I mean, there's a ton of beaches I can go to for free. And he's like, okay, it's $5 to drive on the beach. And I'm like, and my big smile just came. I go, what? He goes, $5 to drive on the beach. And I turned like a 8-year-old version of myself. I threw him a $5 bill, and I had a permanent smile on my face for the next 10-15 minutes. I was just like, Zen, can you believe this? And the window's down, and it was kind of a windy day, and it was a little cooler, and you know, huge sand, like just from the kind of where there wasn't sand to the water was, you know, like 60 yards. It was, you could just, you know, you kind of tell where people were driving, and there were people out, and you just kind of just drove mellow. And it was kind of cool that you just had that much freedom to drive, park, get out, stop, do whatever you wanted to do. And but it was remarkable. But I did start noticing not a stone not a rock, not a pebble. I'm like, okay. And Pismo Beach, like the town, was kind of on that wealthier side. And I've been to Laguna, which is south, and it was kind of just that, you know, just not my kind of vibe. You know, I'm looking for something, you know, just smaller, something chill. And again, I'm kind of wanting to be by a dope beach like Rincon, which is amazing. But I've been going there for 4 or 5 years, so it was kind of like this kind of little full circle story. So I get done with Pismo Beach, and I'm like, okay, well, that was great, but nothing around I've seen is even anything I would consider living. And I already, you know, kind of stopped in Lompoc at the hotel, and I'm like, just drove through that town. I'm like, okay, I've just been through a couple little towns and places, and you just get this cool vibe, and you kind of like it. Or you drive through it, and you're like, eh. And I was just, because that's what this trip is really about. You know, I mean, everything in my life is kind of that feeling right now. Does it feel right? Does it feel good? Does it excite you? Is it, you know, something that's like, oh my God, this would be fantastic? It's like, why would I, you know, move? Like I said, nothing's bad right now, which again, kind of really helps with the end of the story. So I drove up to, I was kind of excited about Morro Bay, and it was kind of that Fisherman Wharf kind of vibe. And I'm like, I kind of like that. That's cool. Well, I get there and I park just a little bit up from all of that, kind of like in the neighborhood. And the neighborhood was cool. Like, I'm like, okay, I could tell, like, I liked this vibe. Like, the houses were kind of cool and all. Just, I don't know, it was just kind of a cool vibe. And I got a little excited and I walked down. And if you've ever been to San Francisco, and that Fisherman Wharf, it's like huge and just busy and people are always there. And Morro Bay was, I would say, just about that size, if not the same size. I mean, I was kind of struck by, like, you know, this cool chill. And then you just walk down and it was just restaurant, restaurant, store, restaurant, just bar, just all along this huge area. And then I looked, walked past it, and it was a bay. Like, just this, you know, little inlet of water, and there were boats. So there's no beach, no anything, no beach, no stones, no nothing. So it's like, you know, this would be cool to stop by, come get fish, you know, seafood and stuff like that. But this is everything. Like, if you, you know, I mean, this is where, you know, there's no beach. And again, scenic and cool, and there's this big, huge kind of mountain structure in the back. And, you know, I'm sure on postcards they say Morro Bay, and you see this big hill, which is actually, I think, the episode photo I chose is a selfie of me with this big hill. That's actually Morro Bay. So again, I dug it, but it was like, well, not living there. So it's about 3:30 on Friday. Like, I got all my luggage. I got, you know, cooler, food, you know, on ice. I got, you know, dog food. I got all this stuff packed up. And I'm like, that's all I kind of had planned. And it was no, 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 no. And I'm like, well, I'm obviously not going to stay another night. I drive back to the hotel. And that's when it was just like, oh, now I was getting tired because I'd been up since like 4:30, I think, that's morning. So it's getting close. By the time I got to the hotel, got checked in, got upstairs, it was probably like 5:30. And then the bed was uncomfortable, and there was like a little, like it was a little warmer than was comfortable, but there was no thermometer. Is that what it's called? That just sounded weird. Thermometer, that's what you took your temperature with. You know, where you turn on the heater thing. There wasn't that. There was like an AC unit that was unplugged. And it's like, oh, if you're going to cool, need AC, you turn that on. But there was no, and so I didn't understood how that worked. But Zen at times was just going like he was warm. And I'm like, well, he's warm, I'm warm. I can tell he's up, and the bed wasn't that comfortable. And Zen's kind of like, should I get down? Should I get up? So this was like, you know, all of a sudden it was 8. And then it was 10, and then it was midnight, and then 1, and then and I was looking at the clock, and I'm like, I'm just like not sleeping. And I kind of was gathering, you know, kind of had somewhat everything organized, and I didn't really pull out anything, but, you know, Zen stuff and bathroom stuff. And also it was like 4 o'clock, and I just got up and I go, just go, just leave. And it took me like 20 minutes to gather everything, get it in the car. And I left about 4:30, and I got home about 6:30. And it wasn't a great feeling because, And Scott, the next day, I trained him. And he goes, you know, discovery is great, but discovery with expectation is not so great. And I was like, that's perfect. He goes, you know, you kind of had that, I'm going to go find this wonderful place. Not, hey, I'm going to go see what I can see. And I'm like, exactly. Now, I didn't have a bad time, and I wasn't bummed. You know, Zen on the beach and Zen, you know, Morro Bay, these sea lions I saw, they were like 20 feet long. Like, I'd never seen them that big. It was amazing. And then there are these three little sea otters swimming and playing. And, you know, so Zen was watching them, and I walked around. You know, I mean, so it was, you know, like a cool little getaway trip. But again, in the back of my mind was, I'll find, I'll know. And all I knew was no, 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 no. And I'm driving back, and I start going, okay, let's break this down, because obviously there's that disappointed because you have some sort of expectation, but look at the positive. You got information. And it's like, yeah, but I don't know what. And I just kept driving, driving, and it got a little light actually when I was passing Rincon. It's like, I've been to a lot of beaches, and, you know, Rincon is obviously, you know, scenic-wise, it's beautiful. But there's just not a lot of beaches with rocks at all, stones. And at Rincon, I mean, I actually have options. Like the big stones that break off the cliffs and fall down, there's that. Then there's just the regular rocks, different shapes, different sizes, and different areas along the beach, and mainly where I go. But the area, the spot I go, there's these little, like, U-shaped tunnels formed in these rock formations. And I just think the stones get caught in there, and they kind of just spin and get ground, because I got a bucket full of sphere-like stones that are nearly perfectly, like if there's a ding, a crack, or whatever, I won't keep it. And I literally have a bucket full of like almost sphere-like, perfectly round, not round and flat, perfectly round like a ball that you can just find. So again, the options for me in being, oh, well, you know, it's like, artist, like, do you want to paint with one color or do you want to paint with five colors? It's like, well, I'd rather paint with five than one. So all along those beaches, and I went kind of where there were some cliffs and those big rock formations in Pismo Beach, no stones below it. And I was like, and I started thinking, going, well, it's either stay close to Rincon and start looking around there, you know, it's like 20 minutes, I think, from Rincon to Santa Barbara, and Rincon's in Oxnard, and then before Oxnard, there's Ventura. So there's, again, just this smaller scope, but much more south than I was looking. Or, and this is the big or, big if, option two is actually Big Sur or above Big Sur in Monterey. Big Sur is kind of like, you know, a bunch of woods and forests, and like, there's no big towns or anything, and I don't know off the grid that much I want to do. And I love the visual of Big Sur, but just kind of just scenic and town. Monterey is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. So I was kind of like, okay, you know now how special Rincon is. So it's either stay close to that and, you know, slowly plant roots somewhere, or take one more trip, go up to Big Sur, go up to Monterey, just hang out and see how that feels. And that was kind of the decision I made. I mean, I don't know. I came back, and this was the thing. It's like, I was looking forward to coming home. I was so thankful to come into the Zen garden. And I don't know, it was just, like, you know, Zen went right to his bed and lay, like, oh, finally, I got something comfortable to lay on. And we went for one walk that night around that the neighborhood. And, you know, it's just this, like, not anything bad, but I just walked around going, I want to go, oh, cool, I'm walking Zen here. I mean, I just know you can find neighborhoods or a rural kind of area that's got cool places. You know what I mean? I just know that that's possible. I just don't know. And it was the not knowing that was kind of tripping me out or disappointing me, or however you want to verbalize it. But like I said, I was so excited to get home and the comfort of coming in the Zen garden and walking Zen that afternoon. And I was back early, you know, I mean, I was back early Saturday morning. So I had all of Saturday, all of Sunday, and it was good just to be back and get unpacked and get situated. And then the Mosher was kicking it on the film and finalizing the editing. And I'm actually going to hop in the car right now when I'm finished here and go pick up the hard drive. I think he sent it to my other dude for the color corrector via like Dropbox or something. I thought I was originally going to have to drop off the hard drive, pick it up from Mosier and drop it off at Allender's. But I think I just have to pick up Scott because it's mine and I got all the footage. And I've seen 90 to 95% of the final thing. It's about 4.5 minutes long. And it was weird, though, because last night was the night when it was like crunch time and picking music. And we found out we couldn't do the licensed music. And the first song Scott played for me on it, on a 30-second clip, I fell in love with the song. It was this kind of darker, eerie, kind of building, epic kind of background. And it's all music. The whole 4.5 minutes is music. There's no ocean sound. There's no dialogue. It's just balancing. And I think it turned out for the best. I look at it as trying to get me with the dialogue and the Zen garden and the trip and put all that into something that worked would have been a huge job. And now I understand that. But I've got all the footage, which is dope. But for this event, it's almost like I was like, it's better if I don't talk. I bet it's better if this is just, here's what, and Zen's in it a lot, which I love. And Mosher understood that, you know, it's about Zen and I. So when I go, okay, there's Zen and I, there's Zen and I, there's me doing my thing, you know, there's Zen and I, there's a great thing. Oh, look at the sun. It's just, it's quality. It really, really is. And I'm happy. But last night, because I didn't sleep Friday night, it was the end of the day Saturday, and I was getting tired, and that kind of like, you don't know where you're going to live or when you're moving was kind of like weighing on me a little bit. And then Austin's like, hey, Scott's like, we need to find music. And I'm like, okay, so now I want trying to find free music that you can find on YouTube, because Glenn's like, yeah, go find it. So now I'm searching that thing where it's like, I don't want to be on the computer. I don't want to be searching. And I'm like, not finding it. So it's that whole technical stuff I don't want to do right now. And then I finally found it, so I start going through soundtracks, ambient, dark, moody kind of music that you can just download for free. And that, it was just, you know, now I'm just kind of, and I sent some to Scott, and then he sent one back, and we're like back and forth, and he's like, you know, I think kind of fired up going, I'm going to get this done, get up in the morning, polish it, and it's done. I'm like, I just want to stop. I want to lay, don't think anymore last night. We finally came to a song. All was kind of done, and right before I pressed record, he said, you know, it's finally copied onto the hard drive for me to pick up, and he's just sending it to Allender to color correct it, and then Allender, you know, today's the 14th, he's got till the 19th, so he's got 5 days, and I don't think it should take him more than a couple to color correct, because again, it's only 4.5 minutes long. So it was kind of like all that was going on, and I woke up this morning and I was like, okay, why do I feel kind of tired and drained? And I was like, oh, dude, the podcast. And there was literally that thing where it's like, you know, you haven't really recorded a podcast when you felt like this. And I don't know what it was, but by the time I started, it was just like I kind of kick into the, you know, what I do. And I've done this 393 times, so I can just kind of turn it on and go. But there was that just getting the feeling and the expectation out, and but realizing, like, you know, this art thing and the event and the, you know, planning and getting help, and you know, I hate asking for help, and you know, it's just a lot of stuff on me. But I've never, this is funny. I'm like, I'll share this. I'm just going to say that. It's like, no, this is where you share everything. So you keep doing what you've been doing for 6 years. But I made Mosher a thank you card. And I told him this once in person. I said, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And I just feel like he's done a lot for me and been a great friend. But in this one moment, coming in and going, okay, I know how important this is to you, and I'm going to help you out because, you know, I know you're in a pinch and we can do this. I said, you did more in this one moment for me, and to show, like, that's a compliment to me. Like, that dude's going to do what for me? You know, it's like, he's busy. He gets paid a bunch of money. His time is valuable, and he's just doing this for me. And I'm like, that's such a huge compliment. And I'm like, that that's a dope feeling. And then the art show to be invited. So I got like that vibe. And then I watched this one part. And I'll share it. I'm just with a piece of wood scraping slant, scraping kind of sand, leveling sand, a real slow motion. And he'd shown me a couple clips before, and he started with the ending, and it was jumping around or whatever, but there was this one moment, this one scene, and I just teared up. Because if it was like I was watching a documentary, I'd be like, okay, that dude's an artist. He goes, and that's like knowing, like, I'm just clearing sand. Like, I'm going to build this balance. That's going to take long. I'm going to do this row of stones around that. Then I'm going to do a ring of bigger stones around all of that. And I'm just really methodical with the sand. And I was like, I just loved that. Like, it just filled me up. And I've never felt that much pride. And it was just watching, you know, this film of me. And it just, it was just like, again, you know, putting this thing together. And Mosher knows me and understands me. But, you know, it was shot basically chronologically. So to me, it wasn't like anything I don't do. But I don't know, just maybe be able to visually see it. And then just embrace it emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. But it just really, really affected me. And I was just like, I don't know if I've ever felt pride and cried. And as I text Scott, I go, crying. He's like, don't cry, Tom. It was pretty special. And so this is where I'm kind of heading with the episode for my 20,454th day. It's like, you know, write a poem about being 56. Talk about what it means to be being 56. And I'm like, well, that's a pretty huge thing that's going on right now. That art thing, the film edited by Mosher, color corrected by Allender, shot by my neighbor and Martin's, you know, owner, who's Zen's best friend. It's just like, all of those stars to align. Again, we're talking January, February, you know, my art gets in a store and I'm shooting a film. And then they've been texting or emailing me going, okay, the on the panel, the green room live panel discussion is going to be Sunday. Just want to confirm that you're interested. I'm like, yes. Like, I can't even believe what that's going to be like, you know. And then the whole live event, I think the thing is Sunday. So I don't even know how it all works out or whatever. But it's just such a great thing. And I'm like, well, this is what's happening. I mean, my birthday's Thursday the 25th. And the 27th, Saturday, 28th, Sunday is the event. I mean, to me, that's a birthday present. Like, you're invited to participate in this event that's March, the end of March 2021. It's like total birthday present. And then the film. And then Scott editing it. And Allender color correcting it. Michael shooting it. Again, what are you selling, Tom? Why are you always talking about this good stuff lately? Well, I've been doing it for 6 years. I shared everything. Why wouldn't I share the good and the really good and the great? And yeah, like right now it's pretty consistent. Like, bucket list I didn't have, but if I had a bucket list, three things, 1, 2, 3, this year, by February 2021. A bucket list I didn't have 2020 December. Three of the would-be items on that list got checked February 2021. And, you know, I mean, the event hasn't happened yet, but I was invited to participate. So, you know, the 56 and the podcast being 6 and Zen being 6, you know, it's just like a super, super cool thing, but it's what else is happening. You know, it is the external. You know what I mean? It are these outside things that I couldn't control, predict, nor hope for or want. Therefore, they won't, like I said, weren't written down. But just to be, like I said, just before the recording of the Scott's like, I'm done. And I'm like, it's done. Like, on a hard drive, saved forever, you know, ready to be submitted. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I know where I don't want to live. I know I'm going to take another trip. I know I have a great home. And I'm blessed to have the Zen garden. And You know, I'm looking at Zen right now, and you know, this is his home. We go for a walk, and that dude's like, "I'm turning right here because I know where I'm going. Oh, I'm going this way." And this morning, he took this totally different route that we never take in the morning. You know, we always kind of head out east of here, and then it's either kind of east and south or east and north, but it's always east in the morning. That's our first run because that's where the dog park is. We go to the dog park first. He smells for 10, 15 minutes, and then we do our run. And this morning we went out the back and I put some recycle in the recycle bin and he just starts heading west. We're going this way today. And that's what I mean. It's just a joy to be around Zen because he doesn't care. We're walking around the neighborhood. I mean, obviously he'd like the woods, but you know, he's not, this sucks walking around Hollywood. He's chasing squirrels. He's having fun. And I'm like, and that was the dope thing, the epiphany. You know, I'm getting information. And the client said that his parents lived in Santa Cruz and for 2 years are like, yeah, we're just going to kind of look for a new place to live. He goes, it sounds like what you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I have. I don't, you know, I mean, I want it to take 2 years, but it's, I don't have to go. You know what I mean? Like, manager loves me. Landlord loves me. Only apartment to have a dog. Only apartment that has an outdoor area. And outdoor area is for my dog. You know, so it's like I'm super, super blessed to be here. So don't let that disappointment come in. Don't let those expectations, you know, come in the way of just discovery. Like, again, going, look, I kind of discovered how dope Rincon is. And maybe I'm going to discover living by Rincon is the greatest thing in the world. Or maybe I end up in Monterey and I'm completely blown away that that's even possible. You know, like I said, I don't know if part of me wants to be closer to L.A. and closer to Rincon. And I don't know why. Like I said, it's just a feeling. But I've been here for 8 years and went from really, really unfamiliar, uncomfortable to really, really familiar, really, really comfortable. Best I've ever been. So to go, I'm out of Hollywood. I'm out of the Zen Garden. I'm, you know, we're going. It's got to be better. You know, I mean, it has to be better than this or why would I leave? And that's the thing is like, if I can, you know, thrive in Hollywood, you know, just finding the right spot, a little bit north, a little bit, you know, less city. I just think it's going to be magical. And in lieu of a poem, I was going to share this. I've never spoken live to a person from high school. I just, you know, completely was like, look, I didn't know who I was. I didn't like high school. I think of a bunch of people that I'm like, yeah, I didn't like them. And, you know, just being harassed and picked on and the fight, just everything about it, I hated. And I hated home life. So it was everything about being 18 and under. All changed when I joined karate. Summer after I graduated, I was 18. I joined karate. That's when my life changed, got better. But before that, nothing really fond at all. There's probably two guys that I've texted, exchanged, or, you know, just via social media messaged. One guy bought a frame and, you know, I was in touch with some. So people that I've, you know, made comments and but never like personal message, you know, long email or texting or definitely not phone call. And it's been almost 40 years. So 35, 40 years since high school. But you do, you know, you get sort of a vibe from people on social media. And there was this one girl from high school, Amy. And, you know, I would just see someone's post and her comment going, oh, congratulations, so happy for you. You know, it's always like that. It's just a cool cheerleader kind of a vibe. And she had a hair salon. She cut hair. Kids, grandkids. And then it was about a couple of weeks ago and I saw this post that, you know, she was having health problems and had back surgery and it didn't go well. And the surgeon admitted he put a screw in and it didn't feel like it went in straight. And she was in like horrible pain and then had to go get surgery again to get that problem fixed. And I'm like, that's completely unlucky and unfortunate and horrible. And then she posted this post, you know, kind of stating, you know, she's doesn't know if she'll be able to do certain things, and she can't work, and she's got a walker, and she's in a ton of pain. And I was just like, it's just horrible hearing this. And she wasn't complaining, and she wasn't negative. She was just laying it out. And immediately I got this feeling of going, you should call her. And I was like, okay, I haven't talked to anybody. I didn't really like hang out with her. I mean, didn't, you know, I just knew her. That was it, just knew her. But like I said, since then, you know, there's, I got a few friends from high school on Facebook, and you just, you know, what they're posting, and if they chat or whatever, you know, you just kind of get a vibe. And I'm like, you know, I just know that this woman takes care of people. I just know she's a caretaker. I just get it. Like, I just saw her. And I'm like, she just thrives on her kids and her grandkids and her clients and everybody else. And that exactly states what she also doesn't do. She does not take care of herself. And now the entire world stopped for this woman. And she has to solely focus on herself. And she's very unfamiliar with that. And I'm like, I just gotta tell her. I just gotta tell her the truth. I gotta tell her that she doesn't know how strong she is. But when you care for everybody as much as she did, as hard as she does, and sincerely, authentically, with no ulterior motive, agenda, nothing in it for her, that's a ton of strength. But the person doing that doesn't realize it because it's not for them. They're not doing it for them. They don't, you know, they don't know it. But when you work on you, when you get through stuff, now you realize how strong you actually are. It's like it just kind of gets, it's fuzzy. It's like, oh, I can help people. I can do that. I'll kill myself for that. It's like, but I'm not that strong. Why? Well, what have you done for you? Well, I haven't really worked on me. So you can't feel that inner strength. And I'm like, oh, here it is, perfect setup. And I'm like, and my sister was completely humbled physically. And in the end, I mean, she did pass, but she found peace. She became the best version of her because she gained clarity because life woke her up. So I was like, I just know I got to talk to Amy. So she had commented on a post of mine, and I saw her, she was still online, so I messaged her, and I said, hey, would you be interested in a quick phone chat? And I didn't hear back from her, and I thought, no worries. And it was like a week and a half later or so, and she had commented on a post of mine or whatever, and I said, thank you. I said, hey, I said, would you be interested? I just, quick phone chat, I just wanted to share something with you. And this time she answered. And she said, my daughter and grandkids are coming over. We're having dinner. Can we do it in a couple hours? I said, yeah, sure, whenever. Just, you know, take your time. And when you're ready, just text me. And I was like, cool. But then it was funny. It was like for the next couple hours, I thought about her. And that was when I was like, I go, that's just what I got to tell her. Like, I wasn't like, okay, prepare to talk to Amy. You know, I wasn't dwelling on it. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I don't do that. I knew I kind of wanted to say, but it just, like, got in my head. And because I had the time, I wouldn't leave. And I just kept on, I go, it's like I got to tell her the truth. Going, look, this will prepare you to be the best you. Like, it's perfect timing. It's what's supposed to be happening. And if you don't believe that, your challenge is to believe that. Because that's what's, and I'm just like, saw it. Like, this is perfectly clear. And I go, she's strong enough. She's going to do this, whatever it is. And I said, and that's how, you know, she's going to impact the people, you know, in the world, you know, her world, you know, around her. You know, she can't do this and this and this right now. So she feels, you know, when Tammy was running 12, 13 miles a day, and next thing you know, she's got a walker at work. That's not easy to swallow. So again, you own your own salon and you got clients and you do it. Now, here it is. You got to get a walker and learn how to move, and it's painful. You know, who you were and what you felt good about and how you felt good is all gone. But that's the thing. If you kind of have the right mindset and you don't start complaining, and you kind of start going, okay, you know, here's what I have and here's what I can do, so let me move forward. it might just be better. But it's tough to see that because it's not a lot of feel good. And like in her case, it's discomfort, unfamiliarity, pain, and kind of like, well, you might not do A, B, and C again. I mean, so it's hard. But if you don't fall into the pity thing, which is normal, and you don't feel bad for yourself, which is normal, and you don't get too freaked out, too scared, too bummed, which is normal, you can move forward a little quicker. And again, there was no idea if she was going to want to talk, want to listen, believe me, anything at all. Again, I do not have a relationship with her, friendship at all. And then I just, all right, I know right away what I was going to tell. She got on. She was super sweet, super nice, just like I had imagined. And I said, I'm going to tell you a little bit about you. And then I'll tell you what your test will be. So I started telling her, she's a caretaker, and takes care of everybody, and blah, blah, blah. And she says, yep, that's me. And I said, yeah, and what you also do is consistently is what you don't do, and that's take care of yourself. And she's like, yep. And I said, now you're forced to. And she said, exactly. And I just kind of went into some stuff about what I went through and what I was going through. And at one point, I said, you know, not talking to my, you know, family and parents. She said, oh my God, you're not. Like, she just like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, like, again, she was like all of a sudden like feeling my pain. Like, I care for Tom, and I'm going to, you know, like, whoa, this is the best me it's ever been. That's nothing I would have ever wanted or written down. But part of that was me getting to hear. And because I was able to do it, I got here. So there's really no bad at all. So don't feel bad at all for me. Like, the reason I'm me is the reason I'm calling. And that's kind of the point of ending this episode with this. I said, you know, Amy, I didn't feel good at all up until 48-50. So up until 48-50, I wasn't going out of my way to help people, reaching out people, knowing that I could. I said, but at 54, 55, 56, I started realizing I could tell people what to think, how to feel, and they'd do it, and I was right, and they'd thank me. And I mean, oh, it's so cool. Like, I'm not sitting around about to turn 56 going, wow, this isn't the way I thought. I said, but I just reached out, and I said, and I don't really know you. I mean, I haven't talked to you in 35, 40 years. I didn't really chat a whole lot with you in high school. It's not like I know you at all. But I was like, I'm going to call because I know what to tell her. And you listened, and you nodded your head, and you agreed. You know, she kept chiming in, and, yep, you're right. Oh, my, you know, she was just, I mean, we talked for almost an hour. You know, I teared up a couple times. Like, it was amazing, and it was beautiful. And at the end, I go, see, Amy, that's what's in my life right now. I can tell you what's not, but why? It ain't going to make you feel good. It ain't going to make me feel good. But this is my life right now. I can go, I'm going to, and I tried twice. I go, take that as a huge compliment. Like, I'm not bored. I'm not looking for friends. I'm not trying to make people in high school like me or anything. I go, but here's a person I know I can talk to and set straight like I'm supposed to. And I did. And it worked. I go, how dope is that? Like, how cool do I feel? Like, I love me. I go, I'm turning 56, and I can just go, hey, call me. I'm going to tell you some things that you need to hear. And I'm going, see, so it doesn't matter what's in my life as I turn 56. Because I love me some me. And Amy's like, oh, you have a podcast. So I sent her a link. And she texted me back and she said, I feel so good and very empowered by you tonight. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Tom. And she, you know, kept saying that at the end of the conversation over and over and over again. Like, I feel so good. And then she says, I kind of felt that. I kind of knew it. And it was like, yeah, write down this name, Marianne Williamson. She has this poem, and it talks about giving people permission by shining, letting your own light shine. I go, dimming it doesn't serve you or anyone else. I said, you care about your grandkids a little or a lot? And she's like, a lot. I go, I know you do. I said, I'm sure you'd like to have a positive impact on them growing up, would you not? I go, here's the perfect opportunity. Not one you wrote down, maybe not one you wanted, but it is here and happening. The only time we truly suffer is when we argue with reality. And she goes, you know what, Tom, when I was in the doctor and he started saying those things, I was like, okay, all right, what do I need to do? Okay. She goes, I didn't start complaining. I said, I know. I go, see, that's what I'm saying is you can see your strength. You just aren't sure of it because you haven't applied it to you. So it's like, well, I'm really strong when I help others, but am I strong? You don't really know that until you help yourself. And then she was just like, boom, 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 with this like the phone call was meant to be, and it's exactly what she needed to hear, and she was going to just be her. She was just going to handle it. Next indicate step. What's next? What do I do now? All right, therapy. Okay, this is when I go. Okay, can't. And I told her, see, that's the joy of me. I'll get off the phone and I'll just sit there going, look what you just did. That's what's in the space between my ears. And I said, now what's in the space between your ears is, okay, this is what I got to kick ass in to affect those people. Because when I get better, I get through this, I demonstrate strength, courage, determination, patience, perseverance. The people around me, the ones I love the most, my little grandkids, they're not going to be affected by grandma. You know, again, towards the end, Tammy was going through what Tammy was dealing with. I was like, got it. Way stronger than me. Like, it was just like, look at that. Wow. Like, she completely changed. And she became the best she ever was. And see, the kicker, and that's what I always talk about. See, then Tammy passed away. So we don't get forever to slowly change and then slowly execute and then slowly enjoy the fruits of our labor. We don't get nothing. Like right now, I got Sunday morning. Right now, that's what I got. And I'm right here recording it. I mean, that is all I got. I don't get tonight. I don't get tomorrow. I don't get time to wonder if what I'm doing is right. Or, you know what I mean? We just don't. So I just said, Amy, you're at a crossroads. You kind of know you can't go left anymore, and that's what you were doing, and that's what was written down, and that's what was kind of expected. And you're like kind of supposed to go right, and you're kind of sitting here going, well, I didn't want this. And I'm like, so I'm just here to go, look, just not a choice anymore, just go forward. And she was like, you're right. And I just really said, I go, tomorrow morning you wake up and you know you're going right. It's out of your head. There's no more pause. There's no more, I'm at the crossroads. I'm in a place of confusion or, you know, it's like you have clarity now. You're mindful. You're aware. Like you've woken up and like, okay, I got it. Here, like I said, my divorce second time when I moved into this place 8 years ago, like I moved in and it was by myself and I was kind of around five women for 14 years. It was quiet. And I knew that was the new battle. But I'd already felt this peace because I was away from her and the stress and the yuck and the lie and the cheating and just everything that was going on with that relationship at that point. And that's what it was the very first night. I was like, I got it. There's the old, which is gone. Here's the new, which is unfamiliar. But I was able to be thankful first night. And I just thought that, you know, Amy was in that place. She was already thankful. Like, okay, it could be worse. I got this. I get to do this, and I can do it. So I thought, you know, I wrote a little note. And I'm like, you know, share this on my birthday podcast episode. Because I was like, yeah, Tom House 56. Like, pretty dope. And again, you know, and after the first time, like, okay, she didn't answer me back. I'm not going to, you know, waste my time trying to talk to her. She can't even, you know what I mean? But I was like, ugh, I'm supposed to. And I'm like, I get feelings like that. I go with it and I'm right. And I, you know, may have helped her, changed her a little, whatever. And for the rest of her life, and I go, I'll never forget that phone call. And she goes, Tom, I'll never, ever forget this phone call. So it's like, that's what I got. That's what I have at 56. I have moments where in my journey of gratitude, I'm present enough to be gifted to do certain things at certain times because I don't want anything. See, me helping Amy, it's just me saying thank you for what I have. That's it. There's no hoping I get a client. Maybe there's money in it. Maybe she'll like me. Nothing. I can do this. And if I can help someone, I just will. Because I feel thankful for everything I have, everything I don't have, everything I get to do, everything I don't get to do. Coming back to this apartment, Zen Garden, with my dog. I love me. I love my life. And I love turning 56. And I love having a podcast where I can share all this. And it's been stated before. My message is out there. Beginning, middle, and end. Now I'm just executing it. And that's all I want for people listening. If I can do it, anyone can do it. But if you want help, need help, would like to chat, please, please, please feel free to reach out to me. Like, I'm just hanging out, waiting to help people. And I know I can. I've never not been able to. People have quit. But I've never not been able to help someone. So, if that's you, I mean, you know, we don't have to talk about money or anything. Just message me. We chat once for free. If you like it, we'll chat twice for free. And we just, you know, step by step, moment by moment. If it's a journey towards a better you, again, and I'll end here, because you know what I'm going to say. You are worth it. Welcome to your pro you moment. I'm very glad you're here. I'm very proud that you've decided to deem yourself worthy. Let us begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed. Neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into your spine. Begin to draw the inhale through the nose, exhale out the mouth. We will slow those down. We will elongate them. We will control them. We will connect our mind and body, making us present. That's the goal. Feel that ebb and flow. Experience the now. Something else enters the space between your ears. Kindly, calmly, ask it to leave. Return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. It's not physics, algebra, nor science. It's real simple mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. Tom was A 6 years ago. What did he do? Little things. For who? For him. How often? Consistently. That's it. Yep. If you're going to break it down, I moved in to the Zen Garden 8 years ago. 2 years later, started the podcast. 6 years later, here I am. I know exactly what I did. I know what I went through. I know what it felt like. That's why I started the podcast. 6 years later, I not only talked about how I healed, I continued to heal, I continued to grow, strive, thrive, celebrate. Consistently sharing. And not, you know, picking and choosing the shiny stuff. Sharing all of it. To let people know, like, this is the path. It's not straight. But if you're moving in the right direction, you're deeming yourself worthy. Yay. Be thankful for that. There's people that can't, do not have the ability, do not have the perspective, opportunity. And some people just aren't here anymore. So you get to, if you're still here, experience that which you deem yourself worthy of. I'm just like stoked that I get to be 56 and go, yeah. Now I have a story. My story has value. I'm celebrating that value, and I still get to record and share. Like, here's the path. Let me know when you want to walk it. Let me know if you need help. But I did it. But I did it. Anyone can do it. It's not because I got more stuff. Not because I got more friends. Not because I got more money. No, I have less of everything. But I stand in a place of strength. Strength that I had never felt before. Little fear, little worry, little doubt. Tranquility, solitude, and peace. Thank you for being part of my journey, my story, my healing. Peace and God bless.